Monday, March 6th. Big item today, starting with the staff meeting and going through the day, is the IT&T case and Kleindienst. At the staff meeting, Flanagan opened the subject because the press had been laying for him on his doorstep this morning when he left the house. He wants to talk to the press or issue a statement to prove his innocence. McGregor says no, he should stay out of it. We all agreed we need someone to manage the whole project, that at this point we don't have anybody really on top of it. Later, the president said that Ziegler should knock down the idea that the president was going to spend a night at the Sheraton. We should get out first that the ITT settlement was too tough from their viewpoint. Two, that the statement, the settlement had no relation to the Sheraton offer. And three, regarding Flanagan, we should let justice handle it and get the whole thing away from the White House. The president was concerned about what's at the root of all this. Where did the story start? Who leaked the memo? Who was it written to, and so forth? We don't seem to have the answers on any of that. He wants to be sure that Colson keeps a low profile on this, that there are no statements from the White House, that we refer everything to the Justice Department. He felt that we should try to get a good statement from Justice by the Attorney General regarding the case before the Thursday press conference, so the president can stand on it and that it can't be elevated to the presidential level. He wants to get it all said beforehand, in other words. Later in the day, he had Rose in, and she reminded us that Dita Beard, the gal who wrote the memo that started all this and who talked to Jack Anderson, is the tough, profane character who was Ted Rogers' secretary in the 60 campaign. Later in the day, Ehrlichman talked to Mitchell, and he said that he would not make a statement, didn't feel he should, before he testified, and suggested instead that the president should simply respond, saying that he was glad Kleindienst wanted to clear this whole thing up and had asked for the special hearing. As long as we've got the thing and are paying for it, we might as well get some credit for it. First thing this morning, the president talked to me about Buchanan, said that he had a question regarding my plan of attack on it, and instead wanted me to tell him that the president understands completely what his problem is and that we'll work it out, but we'd like to make the date April 1st so that we have time to get things in order. Then on my own, I should say that I feel he should work in the campaign, that there's a wide open spot as director of the answer desk and so on. The president feels there's a problem with the attitude of the entire staff in putting their personal prejudices above the common good here. I then talked to Buchanan, and it turned out that I opened with the president's view, but then Buchanan said he had thought the whole thing through, that he had now realized he had expressed his view to me, to Mitch, to Kissinger, Rogers, Haig, and through me to the president, and that there was no need for him to express it any more publicly than that, and that he would do the cause more good by being inside than being outside, and therefore he decided he should stay on. When I reported this back to the president, it was clear that he wasn't particularly pleased that Buchanan was staying. At that point, he was pretty well ready for Pat to go on his way. The president raised the question regarding the primaries, said that Mitchell should get out the line that the Manchester Union Leader is the closest paper to the state, and that we'll accept their poll, which shows Nixon at 55%, and we'll be very satisfied with that result. The president says he thinks, said at that time that he thinks McCloskey could get 20% and Ashbrook about 10%. Later in the day, Ehrlichman asked him how he thought New Hampshire was going to come out. And his prediction was that Muskie would get 54% because he'd pick up some rank-and-file sympathy and get a little more than the polls say he will. McGovern will get 22, not do as well as the polls say. Mills should get 5, Yorty 5, Hartke 3, And then Nixon and Teddy Kennedy will get some write-ins. On our side, he says he'll get 65 to 68, McCloskey 20 to 22, and Ashbrook about 10. President had his big busing meeting this morning with the cabinet committee, and apparently it went pretty well. He's been thinking through the whole thing. He wants to be sure that Ehrlichman and Price understand that we don't want to make an issue on busing. What we want is action. And that's what we must say in our statement, that we could easily make the issue by going for the constitutional amendment, but it would have no chance of passing, and busing would continue for millions of children. What we're trying to get instead is results. He and Ehrlichman agreed after the meeting that there just isn't any solution to the thing, but that our blacks will stay aboard anyway. Again, that we should emphasize we want action, not the issue. The president agrees we're doing the right thing and not going for the amendment. A little later, in talking with Ziegler, Ron recommended that they should not put the statement out on the day of the Florida primary, but should wait till several days later and not worry about the thing being tied to the primary. Ron doesn't think that will make any difference. President saw Romney this afternoon, and he went through his idea about how he wants to set up a national thing like the Citizens for Michigan, which would be sort of along the line of Gardner's Common Cause to solve the problems of cities and so forth. But he and the president agreed that he should wait and do it after the election, start getting ready for it now. End of March 6th.